We're here in our consideration of the Apostle Peter, and we're not looking to beat our brother up because he's very much a mirror to each and every one of us. Maybe not you, but I kind of think maybe you too, and certainly me, us together, with different aspects of it. Some things that he struggled with we may have down, but we got problems in other places. There's no justification for any of it. All of it boils back down to faith in our Lord and listening to our Lord and remembering what our Lord tells us. And so many things that we're just plagued with and that we deal with this old flesh. I want to remind you of the verse in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Call of the Lord. Peter's calling was really no different than our calling. Peter was called into the office and the work that the Lord called him to. And you know what? It's not less or not more in the way that the Lord called me and you. We've all been called to the calling that we've been called to by the Lord. And not to make a tongue twister there, but it's just that way. You know, what we're responsible for and what we have before us is to meet that calling of the Lord for us. What is your calling of the Lord? The call to salvation, of course, is essential and necessary before one can serve. But we've all been called. If you're here and you're saved, you've been called to the Lord in that. And then we've been blessed, we who are saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we've been called to that too. Called, added to His church, as the Lord saved, and as it tells us in Acts, and added to the church daily, such as should be saved. It's the Lord's work, and we're found in the midst of it. In John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, Peter seeing him, he sees John, and the Lord has dealt with the disciples there. We'll get to that here soon. But he says to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And so many times we get into trouble wondering about what the other brother ought to be doing or what the other sister ought to be doing rather than ourselves. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? If my will for him is this, that, or the other, if my will for him, Peter, is that he live till I come back again, what is that to thee? Listen, you know, we need to slow down, don't we? We need to listen to what the Lord says. Follow thou me. Peter, you follow me. And you don't worry about John. You don't need to worry about John. Again, we see in this study about milestones between the Gospels that help us put them in sync one with another. And maybe the Gospels can be, we can have a vision and a view of the Gospels to where they are four books that flow together telling us about the account of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the apostles witnessed and what was important. The Lord inspired the writing of these Gospels to our brethren, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they coming from different walks of life and different callings themselves, two of them apostles and two of them not. And we see what was important to them. You know, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet as the Lord uses and speaks through the prophet. And I find that interesting. We're trying to take a chronological look. And if you go to the Gospels and you try to get them exactly in chronological order, you're going to find difficulty. It's just going to be that way. There's just some of those things just can't get lined up. And maybe exactly the way we would like, but in general terms, we'll be able to see the chronology there. And then we'll see our brother work, or our Lord work in our brother's life, bringing him along ultimately to a converted, those are the Lord's words, a converted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen a lot of things in our brother's life. And last time we left off, we left off here considering about the Mount of Transfiguration, and then the Lord dealing with Peter personally, just him and the Lord, regarding the tribute money. And in all these things, we see that indeed that there's hope and help for us. I've got a correction to a note here that I need to make. I got to get on that guy that puts together my notes. Sometimes he doesn't do a good job. Then we come here to Luke chapter 12. Let's take a look here in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, I don't think, and it's interesting, Brother Luke writes here, we talked about Brother Luke and how he comes along at a later time, seemingly, from what we understand. He comes along at a later time. Pardon me. I'm hearing something squeak. Is it the PA system? Okay. He comes along at a later time, but he's talked to the disciples, talked to the apostles, and certainly asked questions or listened intently. And one thing that we find in this study and consideration is that Peter is always found, or many times is found, saying, "Lord, what'd that mean? Lord, what's that all about?" And so as we consider about Brother Peter, we as the Lord taught and the Lord preached, he seems to have been intent on listening to the Lord. You know, what's he saying? How does it apply? Where does it work? And we talked about how it was with the brethren that were called to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw what they saw, and the Lord told them to keep it under their hats, if you will, and how they may have talked with themselves, one with another, and kept it from the other disciples. And then in time, after the Lord's resurrection, then let it be known how they saw the Lord's glory there, and how they might have been quizzed by the other ones. Well, why didn't you tell us? Well, the Lord told us not to until now. And Peter seems to be really intent listening to what the Lord says. And so we have that, he has that certainly to his credit, and it's an example to us. You know, we need to be on the edge of our seat, if you will. We need to be on the tips of our toes listening to what our Lord says. May we not be dull of hearing, but may we be listening and hearing what our Lord says. When the Lord has spoken in his word, there's no greater word that has been spoken and for us to listen to. All of that rest of that stuff that we listen to, that you and I may listen to, mostly for the sake of entertainment, some for the sake of information, it'll pass. But what our Lord has said will never pass. May we be listening to him. May we listen to him. May it be important to us. Here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 13, we pick it up here, and there's this innumerable multitude, it tells us in verse 1 of this chapter. And it says here in verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." In this day, it was so that the oldest generally received the inheritance. It's the way that it operated, even yet today in Middle Eastern countries and other countries and amongst different nations of peoples, that it's the oldest that receives the inheritance, and the younger, they do not. This one man comes to the Lord and says, "Master or Rabbi, talk to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me." Jesus says unto him, "Who man? Who made me a judge or a divider over you?" That's not my calling. That's not my place. That's not my ministry. That's not what I've been called to do. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." His brother got what he got in the inheritance, and now the other brother that's come to the Lord wants a cut of it. And the Lord says, his reaction to that is, beware of wanting something that's not yours. That's what he's saying. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And may we get a hold of that. What we have is not who we are. What we have is not who we are. You got to get a hold of that. Some of us have more. Some have more than others. Some have less than others. But what we have is not who we are. It's not. And along with everything that we've been given, even those things possession-wise, we have a responsibility in that. You know, you and I, we have the responsibility in what we've been given by our Lord. And that's what we're to meet. Well, that's what we're to meet in that. And so understand, may we, as we look on others, certainly as we look on our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe that have less than us, may we not look at them as less, because every soul is valuable to the Lord. You know, I guarantee you, the Lord's not looking on what you and I have. Our Lord is not looking on at what you and I have and esteeming us less or greater because of what we have. He's not. He doesn't look at that. He's given us what He's given us for the purpose that He has. And how are we meeting that? And may we not look on others, our brothers and sisters or otherwise that have more, and esteem them greater. Because the Lord hates that too. The Lord hates He hates the way of the respecter of persons. And again, in this world, it's hard. It's hard to not be a respecter of persons. It is. But we need to guard against it. And we need to be warned against it and understand that every soul is valuable. And every calling is its calling, is the calling that it is unto itself by the Lord. And may we meet it. May we be thankful for what our Lord has given us, and may we work hard with the work that He's given us. May we honor Him in that work. You know, we can take the things, we can take the ability, we can take the possessions, we can take the work that we have, and we can honor our Lord, or we can dishonor our Lord in all those things. Some things may be easier, we may perceive them to be easier in one respect and harder in another, but you know what? You might be surprised how it might be if you found yourself in another state. And where we're at is where we're supposed to be. And again, it's no excuse for being a poor steward or being unwise, because we have those things to answer for too. A man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The world thinks that way, but certainly our Lord makes it clear He does not. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, and so now He's telling a parable. A parable is using earthly things of day-to-day life that you and I understand. And He's going to explain a spiritual precept in them. The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And it says here that it's a parable. But then it also says a certain rich man, too. A rich man. Let's read on here. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Is there anything wrong with that? He'd been blessed with a harvest, hadn't he? He had so much harvest. He had so much store. He didn't have any place to put it. That's what he said. Is there anything wicked or sinful about that? Not at all. He'd been blessed. As we see, I think we see with this, the Lord's rain had fallen on the just and the unjust both, hadn't it? And this man had been blessed. There's nothing wrong with being blessed of the Lord. But listen to what he says. He says, I'm going to pull down barns and I'm going to build greater that I can put my fruits there. So nothing wrong in the harvest. Nothing wrong with needing more room and more barns. Nothing wrong with the ability to build barns. Not a thing wrong with any of that. Verse 19, but here we see the issue. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Rather than being thankful to his God, yeah, this man appears certainly to be not saved. But you know what? God is still his God. Rather than being thankful to his God, rather than understanding that the abundance of the things that he possesses did not dictate the consistency or the content of his life, he was found to be a very unwise man, wasn't he? Soul, I'm going to live for myself. Soul, I'm going to heap this up stuff up for me. Soul, I'm going to lay it up and I'm going to be set for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what? There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and being merry. Okay? And I'm not talking about wickedness or drunkenness or anything like that. There's not a thing wrong with that. I think we're going to do some of that when we're with our Lord, aren't we? We're going to eat, drink, and be merry, aren't we? Brother Mark pointed some of those things out in his study about heaven and the worlds to come. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? This man attributed it all to self, and he was hoarding it all to self without the acknowledgement of the Lord of it, in it, in one respect. Not even one respect. That is the issue. He thought that his life was great and that he was great because of the abundance of what he has. Listen, All of this could not guard against what's next. But God said unto him, thou fool. See, in all that he's done, he said, no God, no God. And he's found to be a fool. He's found to be a fool. He's not acknowledged the Lord in thankfulness for what's at hand. He's not acknowledged the Lord in what he should use the bounty for. He's just looking to use it for self. All he's thinking about is self. Self, self, self. He's not understanding that the Lord is blessed with this bounty, and just as quickly the Lord could take it away. He's not acknowledged that at all. He doesn't rest in his Lord, but he rests in his self and his ability and the wealth that he has. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You may have laid it up for another fool, as Solomon says. And what good's it going to do you with your soul being required? As the man enters into eternity and his soul is required of him, it doesn't matter how many barns, how much fruit in those barns, how big his operation, his farm, his lands, his wealth, his money, doesn't matter a bit about any of that, because you know what? He enters into eternity, just him and his soul. That's it. And all that matters is those things that have been done for him by the Lord, salvation, and what he is, what treasure he has or hasn't laid up in heaven. And you know what? He's found wanting, isn't he? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. That's the way this man was. He laid up treasure for him, himself, and is not rich toward God. How is it that one can be? How is it that we can be rich towards the Lord? I tell you what, it's simply found in obedience, in obeying our Lord, in obeying our Lord in every aspect of life. That's how we lay up treasure unto our Lord, taking his good word and his good instruction. And I'm talking for we who are saved. The way we lay up treasure in heaven and lay up treasure for our Lord is be obedient to our Lord and what he's commanded us. In the things of life, in the bounty of life, in the work of life, or even in the poverty of life, to operate and go as our Lord said. And then he goes here, this man has asked him to divide the inheritance, and then the Lord has spoken about not being a judge, and then he's given this warning about covetousness and how to really esteem about life, one's own life. And then he's mentioned here about about laying up treasure for self and not being rich towards God, not having treasure towards the Lord. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples. And so now he turns, and it's important that there's the multitude at hand. This man asked the question. And then it says in verse 16 that he spake a parable unto them, okay, to all. And then he said unto his disciples, verse number 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. So this is coming here to you and me. Are you not a disciple of the Lord? You and I are disciples of the Lord, aren't we? If we're saved and we're saved and members of the Lord's church, we are students of our Lord, aren't we? We should be, you should be a student of the Lord and a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto his disciples, therefore, because of these things that I've said beforehand, I say unto you, if you will, my disciples, take no thought for your life. Now, you know what? These words are easy to read, but they are the truth. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. That's what Jesus said. You know, and he really means it. Take no thought. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat. I enjoy eating. I look forward to eating. I've been blessed with a good cook. We have good cooks in our church. I enjoy the things that they fix. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we don't need to be abusive of it, indeed. But take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on, raiment or clothing. Does that mean I need to quit shopping for clothes? No. It's not, does it mean that I don't need to cook any more food? No. We need to have our homes and our families, but we're not to fret about these things. We're not to fret and worry and wonder about these things. When we have bounty and blessing, and when there's the blessing and freedom and liberty, and we have much, I'm sure all of us have more clothes than we could wear out in a while. But you know what? This still applies when we're down to our last set of clothes. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or for neither for the body, what ye shall put on. This man said, I've got a lot, and I've got enough for a lot of years. Whew, I can finally relax. You know what? You and I are to relax today. You and I are to relax today, no matter what the store is. Neither for the body what ye shall put on. Listen, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. The life is more than our food, and the body is more than the clothes that we wear. It's interesting. I preached a message some time ago about what the Lord says about clothes, and it's interesting what he says about clothes. I think he says that we ought to wear them, but the estimation of what folks put on clothing is just, you know, the Lord just doesn't seem to jibe with that. And I understand, you know, dressing up and being nice and all that. But the thing is coming to services all about how you look and present yourself to others and to see and be seen? It should not be. The motive is in the wrong place if that's the case. And there's nothing wrong with dressing up. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. But is it to where we qualify for some accolade or something like that? It's no good if that's the case. If having to get all dressed up is getting away of your spirituality and being spiritual for services, then please wear clothes, but don't fret about all that getting ready thing. Because if that's a distraction from the worship and service of the Lord, or if that's a hindrance from even coming at all, what a sad thing where some folks might be in a situation and say, well, it's just too much trouble to get ready for services. Well, it's not too much trouble to go to Walmart. And like I said, we need to be dressed decently and we need to cover up our nakedness and all that. But if the preparation of getting ready for this special thing that we do and how we dress to make it to church services would be something that would labor us or cause us to be prevented from coming, I tell you, lay that aside. Lay that aside. Life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, the Lord says. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn. God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And indeed we are. We're not even kin to them, are we? Now we're not. The Lord has made us differently. He's bestowed his glory upon us and the way that he's created us. And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? I want to be a foot and a half taller. Or some would say, I want to be a foot and a half shorter. We can't do that, can we? Listen to what the Lord says about that. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, our Lord says that adding a foot and a half to his stature is a little thing. That's what he says. Our Lord can be a foot and a half taller as immediately as he wills it. And he calls that a little thing. If you can't add a foot and a half to your stature, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest, to think that we can have control over it? May the Lord help us to put things in the right place. Should a mother look to buy clothing for her children? Sure. Should we look to have appropriate clothing and clothing to wear that's clean and neat? Yes, we should. But is that all life is about? Is that a worth a fuss or a fret or a wrangle with in our hearts and minds, or to cause us and dissuade us from, as I mentioned earlier, meeting together in the worship services of the Lord? No, that's not who you are. What you and I wear is not who we are. And we should wear something. I say that over and over again, lest that we be confused. Take no thought for the rest. Okay? Can you add a foot and a half to your height? Not a one of us can do it. Might be able to add a foot and a half to our width or our girth, You know, if I eat that good cooking of Clarissa and don't get some exercise, I might do that. Okay, but not height. Okay, can't do it. The Lord calls that lease. Why take ye thought for the rest? Don't fret. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of them. If then God so clothed the grass, and it's so beautiful, isn't it? Which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. It's so beautiful. It's so wondrous. The Lord does it the world over in different respects for different plants and such as that. And it's just for a short time. It's just for a season or until a fire comes through or whatever. He puts so much energy and effort into doing what he does for that. And then he clothes the grass and it's in the field. Tomorrow it's cast in the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, it may come to a time that we might have to endure the shame of nakedness because of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Doug referred to our brethren that are written about there in Hebrews 11. Some of them were destitute and naked. So, Brother Jim, how's that jibe with this? You know, our Lord will provide for us the things that we need unless he's called us to something greater than that. What it was shameful for our brothers and sisters to be destitute and naked for the sake of Christ. It was. It was. But you know what? The power of God was shown greater in them. And we cringe to think about having to go through such a thing. Our Lord, I believe, was crucified naked upon the cross. And what a terrible shame. That was part of the shame that was there as he was crucified and hung there between heaven and earth for 6 hours for our sakes. But you know what? The power of God was manifested greater than that. And praise be to God that the things of this life, even as bad as they might be, they'll just be like a going away memory when we're with our Lord. He'll wipe all those things away and all those tears and cares. So the Lord will give us what we need unless he's called us to something else for his namesake. O ye of little faith, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? It comes back to that. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Again, that's back referring back to faith. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have that ye have need of these things. He knows, and he will help and provide. We come on down here, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Disciples, he's speaking to disciples. Remember here in verse number 22, it's instruction to you and me. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek those by spreading the gospel, those who the Lord would save. Seek the obedience of the Lord in his scriptures and his word. Seek what he has in store for you and in the church where he's placed you. And seek those things of the Lord. Seek ye rather the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. The rich man that was talked about in earlier verses 16 through 21, it says he was not rich towards God. But the Lord tells us, lay up treasure in heaven. Treasure in heavens, verse 33, that faileth not. And where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. There's no rust in glory in that which we lay up with our Lord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May our Lord help us in these things. Let your loins be girded. Be ready to go. Be ready to work. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Let us shine as a witness for our Lord. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. He said, disciples, be like men that you're waiting for your Lord. Be ready. Be ready in an instant to go. When he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Be ready. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. Our Lord will gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. What a promise. What a promise that our Lord would gird himself to serve us. What a promise. What a blessing. If we're ready, we're ready to go. It doesn't take us by surprise. Oh, the Lord's coming. Oh, but there's the Lord. Let's go. Let's go with our Lord. And that's what he says. To be of a sober heart and mind, to know these things are so, and to live life and enjoy the blessings of life, but put everything in its right place for the sake of our Lord, for the sake of his kingdom, to seek his kingdom first. He'll gird himself, verse 37, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth to serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants, whether he comes in the day or he comes at night. As is read recently about there would be two in the bed, one taken and one left, or two grinding at the mill, or it's going to be when the Lord Jesus comes, it's going to be a worldwide thing. Some are going to be sleeping and some are going to be in the middle of working. Some are going to be relaxing at the end of the day. But it's going to be that way. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants, ready to go. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be ready. The Lord says, be ready that way for me coming. Be ready for my return. Do not suffer the house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, just like the goodman of the house is ready for the thief that he knows is coming. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. When we let down the guard, when we wouldn't have our loins girt, so to speak, spiritually, we wouldn't. Does this mean you got to sleep with your day clothes on? I'm not talking about that. Talking about having our hearts and minds girt. Talking about not being tied to this world so where it's like we got something else to do that we didn't get done. But be about what the Lord would have us to do now, not saving it for another day. Verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? So Peter's listening. He's listening. He's listened to what the Lord says. And he says, Lord, are you speaking this to us? Or are you speaking this to everybody in the multitude? Peter's asking because he wants to know. Peter's asking because he perceives that, is it just us? Or is it everybody, Lord? Who are you speaking this to? He perceives that is there something here to be heard by us? Remember, we saw in verse number 22, and he said unto his disciples, but there's something about it that Peter says, is this to us or is this to all? You know, we see this in the scriptures that Peter wants to know. He's not embarrassed to ask. May we not be embarrassed to ask. Ask. You know what? Nobody that doesn't ask, if one does not ask, they cannot expect to get an answer. Isn't that what our Lord has said? And this is what the Lord's words. If no one knocks, they can't expect a door to be opened. And if one does not seek, will they ever hope to find? Isn't that what our Lord said? He said ask. He said seek. He said knock. And so Peter does. Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, he doesn't answer him. He doesn't say, just you guys. Or he doesn't say, what's to everybody, Peter? He doesn't say that. The Lord answers this way. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Who is he? Can we find him? Can we know who he is? Can we know who he is? And the thing is, it says here in the scripture, it says, and the Lord said. He doesn't say he said to his disciples. Doesn't say that he said to all. It just says that he said. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? How has he said this? He said, he'll come and gird himself. Verse number 37. He said, I'll give him a portion of meat in due season. He said in verse 32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Give us the kingdom. The kingdom being given to the children of God. That's what he says. He says, don't fret about the stuff. You've got more stuff in eternity than you'll ever be able to do anything with. And the Lord, having saved you, speaking to his disciples, the Lord having saved you, he's going to take you to eternity. Don't fret. Have faith in him. Rest in him. Who is this servant, faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their meat, their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What do we see there? Obedience. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Because see what the Lord says, you be faithful in little, I'll make you ruler over much. That which is faithful in least will be in charge of more. The word of the Lord that comes to us in its most foundational form, it comes to us and comes to mankind, repent and believe the gospel. I mean, is not that the first command? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your life, all your being. Hear him and believe him in what he says. We are sinners. We need a Savior, and he sent his Son to be Savior for sinners. It's not a byline or a sideline or like, operation number 5 with the Lord. It's top of the list because he so loves his world, his cosmos, his creation. He's going to redeem her. Redeem his people. Redeem sinners. Blessed is that servant, verse 43, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, obeying him. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? You reckon the Lord is going to cut his children in sunder? And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers? You reckon the children of the Lord are found to be unbelievers? And that servant which knew his Lord will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, and shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. So what do you think? Is it to the disciples or is it to all? He goes on to say here in verse number 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. He's compressed, he's arrested, he's preoccupied by the baptism of the fulfillment of his gospel that he came to proclaim. A fire, a division, he comes to spread on the earth. A separating of men, women, boys, and girls. A case where there will be those that will be offended in the Lord Jesus Christ and those that will be blessed and helped and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay. I tell you nay, but rather division. Verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. And the father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father and the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. There's going to be division because of Christ. Is he speaking to his disciples or is he speaking to all? Who will hear? And then we come to this of discernment. And he said to the, and he said also to the people. So here we have an indication where he turns from the disciples, as he'd been speaking previously, and then this section here, he's spoken. We don't see directly who it's to. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. The Lord gives the parable. He tells about the things of life. He tells about this man that is a fool. He tells about what the Lord really estimates. He tells about laying up treasure in heaven with the Lord. He talks about a servant that's obedient to what the Lord has given and looks for the return of the Lord, and that he might it might be a blessing when his Lord returns, even so much that the Lord himself would sit down and serve the steward, serve the servant. He warns, said, be on the lookout for when Jesus comes. Be on the lookout for when the servant comes. Have your loins girded and be ready. Be ready for that, because you know what? When the Lord comes back and he finds his servants ready to go, it will be a blessing indeed. And then Peter asks, you speaking to us or are you speaking to everybody? And then the Lord says, who is that faithful and wise servant? The one that will make ruler over all of his house, all that he hath. Who is it? The one that obeys. The one that hears the word of the Lord. The one, like the Lord gave the parable of the talents. The one that he gave more to and fewer to and then one to, right? Same kind of thing. Remember the one that dug down in the earth and hid the one in the heart of the earth. He trusted the earth and the world more than he trusted what? The command of the Lord to abide until I come. It's just like that. Those that would say, you know what? I'm going to live this life for myself. You know what? Certain doom and certain destruction is coming. Cut asunder a portion with the unbelievers. And you know what? And then we see here about degrees of punishment, don't we? Those that have been given much, those that have had the word of God heralded towards them for maybe years, weeks and years and months, that they know the truth of God's word and they've rejected it, and they'll be beaten with many stripes. Those that did things worthy of stripes, but didn't know, they'll be beaten with fewer stripes. The division that Christ came, will you be offended in Christ or not? And then you can tell about other things and how even the weather comes, but can't see that this is true, that Christ is coming back and you will give an account. And then he says here at the end, sinner, flee from the wrath to come. How it is in this world, when you've done something wrong, You get caught up by the law, and the magistrate delivers you to the judge, and then you're found guilty, and then the judge delivers you to the officer to be put in prison. So it will be when this life is over and the Lord catches up with you. You go into the prison of hell. There's no coming out. Are you ready? He was preaching it to all, wasn't he? Seems to me that he is. He's preaching it to all. Have you obeyed the Lord? Have you obeyed the simple call of the Lord? Repent and believe the gospel. Child of God, have you obeyed the Lord? Do you estimate the things of this life to sum up to your worth? Or the spiritual things of the Lord to be of the greatest value and what we need to pursue? May our Lord help us in this. Peter wanted to know. Do we want to know? Do we want to know? Kind of interesting how it is here. Peter asks, and as we have the layout in the verses here, went from what in consideration of this verse 13 to verse number 41. And then when he asks the question, the Lord goes from verse 41 to verse 59. So why didn't he just answer him straight out? Well, he answers us in the way that we need to know. He answers indeed with a question, doesn't he, that we might consider about ourselves. How is it with you? Are you saved? Obey your Lord. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Enjoy Him. And look for Him to come and be obedient to Him. If you're here and you're not saved, believe the Lord. Trust in Him. Receive Him. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.